Thank you, Mrs. Rubin. And I don't think that I realized what a distinguished faculty you have here until I heard you speaking. The Yisachkov has a reputation all over for years, but I'm really privileged to be able to participate even a little bit in this very, very, very important program. Today we live in very difficult times. The challenges, the temptations, the dangers, the insanity that surrounds us. Yes, maybe we have an oasis here in this building and maybe in the community, but we're all surrounded and affected by the insanity of the world. Not only that, in the last 2 decades, or last decade for sure, maybe a little more, that insanity has penetrated not just the walls of our communities, but literally into the palm of our hands. And our generation is exposed to ideas, decadence, corruption, like never before in history. And it's all too easy to think that that's the problem. Okay, we have a scapegoat. We have something we can blame. If we're not successful with our students, then we have who to blame. We have what to blame. We can explain it and exonerate ourselves that we're not responsible. We did the best we could. And I'm sure we're doing the best that we can. But the question is, maybe we can do better. And the truth is that in life, in everything we do in life, there's always room for improvement. Anyone who reaches a pinnacle and says he's reached the top and he can't improve is usually missing opportunities for greatness that he or she never imagined existed. And therefore, I feel that even though I'm sure that you people are doing a tremendous job, and I'm sure the successes that you see and the nachas that you share is something that's encouraging and uplifting to everyone. But a day like this was dedicated to try to see if we can improve, to see if we can do something better, if there's more that we could achieve, if there are goals that we could elevate, if there are ideas that we could learn and share, so as to make a greater difference into the lives of our students. I think that's why we're here today, and I feel privileged. I don't know if I feel adequate to the task, but I feel privileged to be able to participate. The truth of the matter is that there are probably 4 major areas that are very critical in chinuch. Major areas, there's many, many pieces in them. But there are 4 major areas that are very critical. And just having that goal in mind, just realizing that this is where we have to go, can be very helpful. Now, of course, and I realize that that's a bit of a problem, that, as was mentioned, we're dealing here with ages, I guess, from 14 down to 6. Is that a good guess? Something like that. And obviously, you can't talk today to a 14-year-old the way you would talk to a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old. So it's a bit of a problem, and we're going to have to rely on your wisdom and your experiences and your knowledge of your students and of your class and of the level that they can communicate on to be able to filter the information accordingly. But I think these are universal principles that everybody can consider. Number one, and I have to say, you know, I really should just give you a little bit of background of my qualifications. My biggest qualification is all the mistakes I've made over the decades and decades that I'm in the world of chinuch. And that is quite a qualification. And if you can learn from your mistakes, wow, you become a big chochem. Not saying I did, but I try. So I've seen it all. I've been involved with all different levels. Unfortunately, I became the recent 20 years an address for all of the dropouts and drifters from our yeshiva system, both young men and young women, and the situation is serious. And I've also become privy to those students that seem to be succeeding, but they're only perceived as successful because we judge them on a curve, meaning this is the top of the class. So, oh, we did well. But if this one and this one and this one could have been twice as high, and now they're only just at the top of the class and the average with everybody else, then we really didn't do the job that we could have done. So I believe we, all of us, mechanchim all over the world, can do better. As great as we're doing, and the results are truly amazing, besides the sad korbonos that we feel, and those numbers, by the way, are not decreasing. Those numbers are increasing, but that's not really the issue here right now. But we can all elevate our students even more. And that's really what I'd like to try to talk about today. As I was saying, there are about four major areas that I believe the major goals of Chinuch divide into. One of them is a little bit different for women than for men, for girls than for boys, but we'll take that into consideration. Number one is relationship with Hashem. I hear, unfortunately, so often, people feel that they don't have a meaningful relationship with Hashem. How can they? It's abstract. What do you mean? I talk to him. He doesn't talk back. And things like that. And sometimes, because of these questions, we don't even want to talk about it. Sometimes, we don't want to talk about it because we ourselves are not so clear and so confident in what that means. We have something, but we're not sure exactly how to express it. What is it really? What is that feeling that we feel in our hearts? Something that's very critical to give over. One area, one major area. Number two, relationships with our students. Critical. Just put it in the most briefest way, just very, very succinctly. The Rambam says that the connection between a teacher, a mora, and a talmida, a rebbe, and a talmid, is the closeness that they feel is the vehicle for which the student wishes to believe and accept that which the teacher teaches. So we want our students to accept what we teach. We want them to believe in what we teach. We want them to internalize what we teach and make it part of their life and their life view and the way they're going to live their lives in the future. And that is a direct factor of the relationship that we have with them. Now, I know classes are big and it's hard to have relationships, and we'll talk about that, but that's a second goal. We'll talk about just general goals. Third goal. There has to be a clarity of the truth of Torah Mi-Sinai and how it will make my life happy. True and good. The truth, the reality, and the benefits that it has for my life. Very critical. Very critical. Because we live in a world where our students, if not ourselves, have become so accustomed to instant gratification. Instant is no longer a word for that. That was 20 years ago. Today it's, is there such a thing as nano instant or super, super instant? It's like we're talking about nanoseconds of gratification. So just to know that there's going to be long term, way down, maybe in the next world, not enough for our fast-paced, instantly gratifying generation. So they have to know that it's going to make them happy here and now, and they have to know that this is reality. They have to know when they learn Parshas Yisroi that Maimed Har Sinai is an historic event that took place in the eyewitness of millions of people, an entire nation, and this is something that has to become a reality to them. And then, thank you. Then the fourth one is, it's okay. Okay, thank you. Then the fourth one is something which is a little more for the boys, for the men, but it's for the girls as well. Why such an emphasis on learning? Why such an emphasis on Limud HaTorah? Why is the Talmud Torah keneged kulam? Why is the essence of our people study? And the truth of the matter is, it is very relevant to girls as well, maybe not so much on the elementary school level, because we certainly look forward to the day when our girls will get older and get married, marry b'nei Torah, either people that are learning in Kollel, either people that are teaching in Chinuch, or people that are koveya itim b'yoyim u'b'layla. And for that, it needs a wife, a woman, who truly appreciates the chashivas haTorah. So these are areas. I would say that for girls, there's another area that we also have to add to this, which is just specifically, and that is the unique role, responsibility, and elevated status of a Bas Yisrael. And that has to do with tznius, that has to do with many things that that only women can achieve in this world. And that's like another general category. So I'd like to try to work on, in the time that we have allotted, to work on these four categories and see how we could try to see if we can't grow a little bit more in them. But before I do that, I would just like to say that we have many resources available. I think one of the things I found the most is that successful mechanchim or mechanchos are constantly learning themselves. Talmidei chachomim, Rosh Yeshivas, they have to be constantly learning. They can't rely on what they knew. They have to constantly be gaining new knowledge and reviewing and refreshing that which was known to them already. And the same thing applies to mechanchim, mechanchos all over. And we have, Baruch Hashem, we have an agency, you could call it, an organization that started a few years ago, and we call it Teach to Reach. And the reason for that is because there's been a lot of training for teachers, not that much, should be much more, but that's in classroom management, in discipline, in lesson preparation, in using those smart boards, which I have no idea how they manage those things, but not enough about reaching our students. And it's really not about preaching to them, because nobody likes to be preached to. And it's not about teaching them, because there's a lot of resistance, but it's about reaching them, reaching their hearts, reaching their minds, reaching their neshamas, with a passionate, excited, and lasting commitment to Yiddishkeit. One that's based on understanding, one that's based on feeling, one that's based on connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one that's based on appreciation of Torah, and one that comes through that loving relationship that we have with our students. So we have this whole, I'm gonna leave here. I couldn't bring for everyone, it was just too much to bring on the, I understand they give you problems at the border here if you're bringing all kinds of things. Am I going to sell them? No, I'm not selling them. I'm giving them away for free. But who wants to get into an argument? I have for some, maybe I'll give out maybe for the upper grades, or you'll see what you want to do, but we're going to send for everybody. It's called the Chinuch Companion. It's really a review of some of the basic details of these four topics that I mentioned, and I think it can be beneficial. It's a very easy read. You probably read each section in 2 minutes. And it's a short thing, but something that's very worthwhile. I want to also mention that there's a website, and the website is called weteachtoreach.com. I believe it's the most forward-thinking-looking resource for helping us to reach our students. It's not just, you know, a sample lessons and that. It has some of that stuff too, but it's a lot of very powerful information that we could use and that we could adapt and apply in the classroom, dealing with some of the major questions that people have, relationship with Hashem, appreciation and love for mitzvahs, making learning more meaningful, happiness, strengthening emunah, making some sense out of suffering, questions and answers. This is all available on this. Don't go to Teach to Reach. That's a Goyesha website. We couldn't get that that name, but it's weteachtoreach.com. So that's something which I recommend all those that can and that are so inclined to do so. I think that you'll find that there's a lot there. Also, we have something on. We have two series on the website. One is called a Zoom In on Chinuch. That's bi-weekly, twice a month, comes out usually the 15th and the 1st, where questions that are submitted by Mechanchim, Mechanchos, and are answered. And it has gotten very, very positive reviews, and many people take advantage of sending in questions that they find difficult, whether their own or whether they're students, and they're hopefully dealt with. That could be a resource that's there. It's called it's We Teach to Reach, I think, /Zoom In on Chinuch. And one more thing, which I'm going to leave some information about that. There are many videos that we have available there. We call it the Divine Fingerprint Series. For those that don't have internet access, we can get it on USB as well. I think that they were supposed to send to Mrs. Rubin something that can make it available. Many Mechanchim Mechanchos find it a tremendous asset in the classroom. It talks about different emunah topics, talks about scientific information in Chazal. Much of it is tied to the parsha. For example, in Parshas Noach, there's a whole video about the dimensions of a seafaring ship that today, after thousands of years, after the dimensions of Noach, those are the same proportions that are used today by most modern science. So that Noach had it right. He had a good source of his information. And things like this are constantly mechazik. So all of this is available. I wanted to mention it now so that you know. And also have many publications. I'm leaving a whole set with Mrs. Rubin, and they're all available to be downloaded, or we do send out, anyone wants hard copies of anything, we send it out. We cover the postage, we don't charge anything, it's all free of charge. So we really are encouraging everyone to take advantage of this. And all we really ask is one thing. We would like to get as many of your emails as possible, because we constantly have all types of new ideas that are coming out. Like to be able to put you on, and you know what to do with emails that you're not interested in. So I don't have to advise you on that. Okay, let's begin. Relationship with Hashem, very critical. How do we deal with that? What's it all about? Well, you know, it has many parts to it. You know, many people have no idea why Hashem created the world. And if we don't have any idea why Hashem created the world, there's no context. And if there's no context, so like, I'm just left, what? And then we're told about Eved Hashem, to serve Hashem. Do you know what image that conjures up in many people? Oh, I'll give you an example. We bring a korban tomid in the morning. That's Hashem's breakfast. He's hungry. We bring a korban shalbeir, please forgive me for overdoing it, beinu arbaim. That's dinner, two meals a day, not three. It's a good lesson that we can learn from that too. Then on Erev Pesach, Hashem really has a problem. He can't eat bread and he can't eat matzah. So that's why we have a Korban Pesach. We serve flesh. That's what it is. Simple, we're serving Hashem. We praise him. Oh, he needs our praise. I'll never forget, I once was in a school, in a community, and the Menaheles from the girls' high school asked me, because I have a girl in the 12th grade who has a question, and I don't know how to answer her, and can you please talk to her? What's the question? Why does Hashem need so much praise? Many of our kids are thinking this. And of course, we know the answer. The answer is Hashem doesn't need any praise. The answer is Hashem, no praise means anything. Hashem doesn't need anything from anyone. There's nothing we could do to give him or to help him in any way. Emotional. Imagine we're still connected to the British Commonwealth, Canada. Imagine the king of the British Commonwealth walks into this room and we all rise and say, welcome king of this beautiful lunchroom auditorium. He's extremely insulted. I'm the king of the British Commonwealth of Nations. and you welcome me as the king of this room. Any praise that we can say of Hashem with any level of depth of understanding that we have is an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, HaGodol, HaGibor, HaNeiro, what do I know about those things? And even when Chazal tell me what it means, my minuscule level of comprehension is insulting. But it's all about our benefit. Hashem wants us to praise Him because then we come closer to Him. We recognize who He is. And the more that you know who an individual is, and the more that you know about that individual, the closer you feel, the more you appreciate, the more you can turn to Him in a time of need, the more He gives you sustenance and support and courage and strength to go on with all the difficulty and challenges of life. So the relationship is very much dependent on tefillah, not just the praises for His sake, not at all, but the growth that we grow from every insight that we understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, for that very reason, we have to teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to know all of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our children have to be nurtured on the Chesed Hashem from the cradle. Because if we try to teach the Chesed Hashem when they've already been exposed to the challenges of life, it's much harder. Imagine walking into a Beis Ovel and reciting, Kol ma de'ovid rachmono letavovid. This is the best thing that ever happened to you. Insane. That's not the time for that. The time for that is when we're growing up, to recognize Hashem's kindness, to see Hashem's kindness in the world, to see that Olam Chesed Yibone, everything is all, the whole purpose of creation was only for Hashem wanted to do Chesed. He needed nothing. He created a world. He created human beings. He created needs in these human beings, all to be able to be mative. All He wants to do is to be mative. And everything that He does is Hatovo. And Hashem's Chesed is Ki Le'olam Chastoy. The Alter of Slabotka teaches us that, rather, today is his yortzeit. The Alter of Slabotka was a giant in explaining the beauty and the depth and the sensitivity of the Torah and the godless of the human being who is the recipient of that Torah. And the Alter teaches that Hashem recreates the world. We say, I'm a chadish v'tuvi b'chol yom tovid ma'aseh bereishis, the entire world for each individual, Tzaddik and Rosho, every single day. What Chesed? Hashem is recreating the entire creation for me, for you, and for each and every one of us, and everyone out there in the world, every single day. That's the Pshat and Ki Le'olam Chastoy. The same Chesed that He created the whole world for Adam Arishon, one person, is Le'olam Chastoy. That Chesed is. So we have to constantly be talking, showing. And what can be more powerful than showing the Chesed Hashem, in showing the Chesed Hashem, than teaching about Hashgacha Pratis? I know many people have picked up on this. There are many, I know in elementary schools, very often they have journals about personal Hashgacha Pratis, and some of them are very impressive. But they also have to hear some of the more dramatic ones. You know, sometimes they put a little thing in that, well, I happened to go here and then I did, you know, like it's a little bit, if that was the whole excitement, it wouldn't really be too exciting. But I like to reference in my own personal life, you know, personal things are much more effective because I tell you a story that I read from someone who heard from someone else who misrepresented it and misspoke about it from somebody else, and I've seen that. I know stories that are printed in my name and I know it didn't happen that way, so. This is, you know, the written word and the oral word is, but this is B'didi Habu'uvda. We moved many years ago to the San Fernando Valley. San Fernando Valley was like the end of the world for Yiddishkeit. You couldn't run further away in the 1970s from Yiddishkeit than to the San Fernando Valley. That was like a suburb of Los Angeles. It was a summer night, and my oldest daughter must have been about 8 years old, and she was in a day camp. And they were going on a trip the next day. She asked me for 75 cents, it was about 10:30 at night, 75 cents for to buy a soda. It's very hot days in LA. And I didn't have 75 cents.
Things were tough in the world of chinuch in those days. Baruch Hashem, today they're a lot better. I hope the women too, but mechanchim are getting paid a lot more. It can make a very good living, and sometimes in the business world and in the corporate world and in the professional world, you don't even do as well. So certainly you don't have the sibuk. The sibuk of giving over Hashem's Torah. The sibuk of seeing the growth of our talmidos and talmidim. Something else. Anyway, I didn't have the 75 cents. What should I do? So I said, say Tehillim. Okay. So she sits down with her younger sister and they're saying Tehillim. Very nice. A few minutes later, she gets up and says, I don't get it. I need the money now. I'm leaving tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the morning. Well, what's this going to do? And the little kid was about 4 years old. Said, well, maybe someone's going to think they have to give you some nonsense. Anyway, she goes, didn't have the 75 cents. I'm not embarrassed about it either. In fact, I'm proud. But that's besides the point. Okay. She comes back. What happened? A friend of hers, who 4 months ago, I guess it must have been 4 months at the Purim Carnival, so that must have been about 4 months in the middle of the summer, borrowed 75 cents. Remember, they forgot about it. Never said a word. Never spoke about it. That morning, she wakes up. Hey, I owe the Cohen girl 75 cents. All of a sudden, she wakes up out of nowhere. 4 months later, she brings it to camp. She pays her the money. My kids learned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillahs of children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the tefillah and sends the message 10 miles away. They lived in the city, we were in the valley, to this young girl that she should wake up that morning and remember something that they had both forgotten about for months. And so these are the things. And this, we have to build a foundation of appreciation of Hashem's chesed in our lives. Undeniable, uncontrovertible chesed. I'll give you just another example because I believe that this is so important. And I think if we can share our own stories that happened to us and that are a little bit more dramatic than some of the things the kids come in and say, you know, just happened to be walking over here and I found a dollar lying over there. So, not a dollar, $10. American. Anyway, but that's something that's a little more. I like this once. It was the day after Thanksgiving. I don't know if you have Thanksgiving yet, whatever it was, but there was a, you know, it's a national holiday, and Friday after, and a young man comes into my office. I said, where were you yesterday? You took off from the yeshiva for Thanksgiving. We'll see those. He says, well, my father was off from work. Strike that. Let's start again. That's what happens, you get older. Anyway, so it was Friday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and my wife calls me up. I don't have fish for Shabbos. I told you, chinuch was rough. Fish costs more than 75 cents. It's really a problem. Anyway, so what should I do? Why don't you buy? I don't have any money. Well, you know, I don't have any money, so what are we going to do? You're going to have bitochen. You don't need fish if you have bitochen. You have bitochen, you have everything. And that's, by the way, the key to the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Goyen writes in Mishlei, and I quote, Iker nesinas ha-teru l'Yisroel hu kedesh yosimu bitchoinu b'Hashem. The Iker of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisroel was that they should put their trust in Hashem. That connection to Hashem, that's what it's all about. Fine. They say, have bitochen. 5 minutes later, this young man walks into my office, and he wasn't in the yeshiva. I said, what happened? Well, you took off a day of Thanksgiving, Bosidus. So he says, well, it was a holiday, and my father wanted to take out the boat, and he had no one to go with, so I went with him, but look what we brought you, a plastic bag full of fish. 5 minutes later, happy tochen, Hashem responds. A wise guy sitting in the back of the room, no offense, was sitting in the back of the room over there when I told this story over to a koilel. I do training with koilelim, and he says, it wasn't gefilte fish. It was a schlech, not gefilte fish, I don't know. But it wasn't gefilte. I said, you want gefilte fish? Fast forward about 10, maybe 15 years. I'm walking on the street. We lived in New York, walking on Central Avenue. And my wife calls me about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a short Shabbos, maybe Shabbos was 6 o'clock, I don't know. And she says, have no fish for Shabbos. We've been there, done that already. I said, so why'd you buy? I have no money. Well, neither do I. What should I do? Come on, you know the answer to that question. 2 seconds later, there used to be on Central Avenue a delicatessen called King David. And Mrs. Ross opens the door. Rabbi Cohen, come here. I said, what's going on? We just started takeout this week. I guess it must have been closing time already. And I have these two big clumps of gefilte fish. And I want you to take home to your wife to see how she likes it. 2 minutes later. See, when our students see the Yad Hashem so blatantly, not just in Mitzrayim, which happened thousands of years ago, which helps us to be able to recognize, the Ramban says, through the Nisim Gluyim, we recognize the Nisim Nistorim. But if we can share with them Nisim Nistorim that happened in our lives, and we're clearly to say, coincidence? One, two, another. How many coincidences can you chalk up to coincidence? And they begin to see Hashem's involved in my life. That means that even when I daven and I don't see that Hashem seems to be answering me, sometimes he answers me even before. Sometimes the answer is, I don't like when they say it's, the answer is no. Hashem never answers no. Tefillah is the mach. So the Medrash says there are tefillahs that are answered in a year. The Sarah's tefillah was in 90 years. The tefillah answered in 10 years. The tefillah answered in a week, in a month, in a day. And some tefillahs in a moment. And some even before we call out. But tefillah always is answered. You know, there's a famous story about the Chazon Ish, about the two kibbutznikim from Shomer HaTzair kibbutz. Came to the point of Israel. They want to learn Torah. You know what to do with them? Like, what's that? Shomer HaTzair is like the most left wing, all mamish, no kifrim, not believing in anything. So he ran to the Chazon Ish. He says, "What am I supposed to do with these guys? How you talking? What's going on?" He says, "They had grandparents, maybe great grandparents, who were mispala for them. My children should go b'derech haTorah, and the tefillah wasn't accepted." And their parents or their parents, next generation, went off and they went to these kibbutzim and they became completely not religious. But a tefillah is never wasted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding now, 2 generations later, to the heartfelt tefillahs and the tears of those grandparents, great-grandparents, that will misfollow for their children. They have to see this. It has to come alive. They have to know what it means to have this connection with Hashem. They have to know that they should daven at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. The Chayyodim suggests, he writes in a moral will, that they wrote these sabos to their mishpocha, that before you step back, before you say Aseh Leman Shemecha, to request of Hashem anything in any language. And I would encourage them, even the smallest thing, even 75 cents, even to get a good grade on a test, whatever it may be. And don't be afraid. What if their tefillah isn't answered? We have to teach them that Hashem has a cheshbon for everything. Soro Imenu had to wait 90 years because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh letefilosim shel tzadikim, because she grew from every tefillah she grew, and by the time she gave birth to Yitzchok, she gave birth to a child who was roi to be the progenitor of Klal Yisrael, the Yitzchok Avinu, Yitzchok HaTzadik. She was roi for that. Hashem knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we want. And by the way, tefillah is avodah shebalev, which means it's in the heart. Many a businessman will ask, oh, this deal I have today, please Hashem, make it go through. And it could be the worst thing that ever happened in his business career. But I ask, Hashem says, I know what you want in your heart. In your heart, you want success. You don't care about these bricks or the other bricks, this building or that building, this company or that company. You want success. You want money. I'll give you what you really want, not just what you think you want. And this goes on and on. There's so much that we have on the website, have all kinds of lectures and written information about this. Very important, a critical ingredient in that relationship. And then, of course, there's bitochen. Bitochen is extremely powerful. Our students have to know that to the degree that we put our trust in Hashem, it's to that degree that we influence the outcome. The Chofetz Chaim says it's not all or nothing. He says, "Kifi," he writes in a letter in the Machni Yisroel, "Kifi goydel habitochen, kach goydel ha'atzlocha." It's not all or nothing. To whatever degree that I have trust in Hashem, I'm relying on Him, I'm counting on Him, I'm focused on His chesed, I know He's all about chesed, I just feel He's not going to let me down, I just refuse to give up hope. That's the degree to which we influence the future. And maybe the greatest benefit of bitochim is menuchas ha-nefesh. I have nothing to worry about. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcho. It's His problem, not mine. I know there's someone who's taking care of it. He's in charge. He's all powerful. He's all capable. And He's all loving and caring and molei chesed v'rachamim. And when I've established these midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a different story. But I must caution us that part of establishing the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and part of establishing this appreciation in our students is our own modeling of these midos. If we compromise the expression and the living according to these beautiful midos of rachum v'chanun erech hapayim v'tzechesed v'alofim v'chulei, the savlonus and a lack of kas and love and caring and patience, if we model them, then we give them an insight into the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we do not model them, oy vavoy, the consequences. Yaakov Avinu, when Esau was coming at him, and he was mispalel Hashem should protect his family, his wives and his children, and Yaakov says, Ribbeinu Shalom, when the Medrash says, his, one of the tefillahs was like this, Ribbeinu Shalom, Halaykosu b'Torah Secho, in your Torah it says, not allowed to shecht an offspring with the mother on the same day. If you allow Esav to destroy my children and my wives in one day, no one is going to want to read your Torah. It's hypocritical. You say, and you allow Esav to do that. If we don't model the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything we teach is hypocritical. We can't bring our students into a true connection with Hashem unless we model those midas that we are teaching that Hashem is known by. And in that way, they can come to a greater appreciation of Hashem and to forge a greater relationship with Hashem and to develop a greater bitochon and be willing to be mispalel and connect to Hashem on so many different levels. Just one more point, and I'd like to move on, and that is, they have to know, as I mentioned before, but needs a little bit more explanation, they have to know that all of the mitzvahs that Hashem gives us are all for our benefit. Nothing is arbitrary, nothing is doing Him any favors, all for our benefit. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, there's one mitzvah called Seor B'chol Dvash or Saktir Ish El Hashem, that they weren't allowed on the Mizbeach to bring Seor, like leavening and honey on the Mizbeach. And the Chinuch writes, even though he gives Tamid Toeles on all the mitzvahs, on this one he wasn't sure what to write. And he almost didn't write. The book he wrote is a gift for his Bar Mitzvah Bocher, to his Bar Mitzvah. I'm afraid, he says, if I don't give Tamid Toeles to all the mitzvahs, my son and his friends will think that the Torah is a sefer chosum. It's a closed document. It doesn't make any sense. It's not accessible. And I'm afraid, and I quote, "Pen yivatu bohem mitechkach ben arusam yanichom le'olim v'yeluchu la'ever." They might kick. They might rebel against all the mitzvahs in their youth, forsake them forever. Much worse than what we're experiencing today. So many of those forsaking us are coming back. And join with the foolishness of the generation. This was written 500 years ago by a Rishon. There was no Beis HaMikdosh. It wasn't like his kid is coming every day to the Beis HaMikdosh. Why can't I bring my honey and my vash on the Mizbeach? Not the Gael HaMaisa right now. And he wrote Talmud Toelis for each and every other mitzvah. He's afraid if one that's not the Gael HaMaisa, he doesn't give Talmud Toelis, his kid's going to go off the derech. Ad Kedei Kach, so important to show the benefits that we get from observing mitzvahs. The kloliestic of benefits, the general benefit of how
All of the mitzvahs work, as Chazal say, lo nitno ha-mitzvahs elo litzaref bo'enes ha-briyos. The mitzvahs are only given to refine human character. That's the general benefit. And then the specifics on each mitzvah, wherever we can, when even on all drabbah, whenever we can explain as beneficial, we're bringing them closer and closer to Hashem, because they see that everything Hashem asks of me is only for my good. And all of the mitzvahs are chesed. And everything that he wants from me is only to benefit me, not in any way to benefit him. That is the fundamental ingredient in a relationship. But I want to just add one more point. Torah says, V'ahavtos Hashem Elokecha, chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, chol me'idecha. To love Hashem, says Rashi, Eino doime oivid mihiro le'oivid mi'ahavo. No comparison if you serve Hashem out of fear or out of love. Ho'oivid mihiro, rabbi matriacha lo v'hoi lechloi. If it's out of fear, it gets too hot in the kitchen, he runs away. We have to train our students that they serve Hashem out of love, have an appreciation of that relationship, that everything they do is because they have that relationship with Hashem and they want to maintain that relationship. They don't want to lose it. When we hold that stick of fear over their heads, I believe there should be a stick in the closet. Maybe in Mrs. Rubin's office you need a stick. Sometimes there has to be. They should know it's there. I would lock it up with three different padlocks so it's not easy to get into. By that time, maybe we calm down. We wouldn't want to hit them with it. But whatever it is. But the motivation is love. If it's fear, I'm out of here. It's too much. I can't handle it. And I can tell you, I can be made from hundreds of personal experiences with people over the years, that so many people have run away because they felt that the approach was fear, not love. And love is the motivator, the greatest motivator in the world. Something I think that we always have to keep in mind. And I'd like to conclude this section just with a famous Gemara that everybody knows. The Goy comes to Hillel and asks him to teach him the whole Torah al regel achas. What does he say to him? Mada lochsani lechavach leisavid zekol haTorah kulav idich pirusha zil gemor. That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. This is the whole Torah. The rest is just explanation. I'll go and study. And Rashi in the first chat says, Chavercho, Madloch Salachavrocho, refers to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Reyachav, Reyovich, Al Tazif. What is called HaTorah Kulo? Don't compromise that relationship with your best friend. That's HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That's called HaTorah Kulo. This relationship is the essence of Kol HaTorah Kulo. It's the vehicle to inspire. It's the conduit which to bring them to the observance of the mitzvahs. And it's so critical that we put as much effort and take advantage of every opportunity to strengthen this relationship. Okay, I'd like to speak for a few moments now about relationship with students. I know that today it's a big problem. I imagine just by the size of this group here today, that you have big classes and nobody's teaching a class of 10 students or 5 students or maybe even 12 students. Am I correct? Yeah, how many have an average in a class?
20.
What's that?
20.
That's not bad. They're placed to have 30 and plus. Anyway, but it's hard, relationship. But relationship is the most critical ingredient. You know, it's very interesting. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, says, a mitzvah say min ha-Torah lidobik b'talmidei chachomim. To cling to talmidei chachomim. And in the case of chinuch habonos, it means to cling to the morah, to the teacher, to the menaheles. And it says, what is that mitzvah? That mitzvah is to eat and drink with them, lechol lishtos, lasus pragmatia, to do business, to marry into the family, lehischaver, to just to be friendly with them, and in order to learn from them. When there's a friendship, when there's a relationship, when there's a connection, we learn from their ways. Then the Rambam says at the end, very strangely, v'chein tzivu chachomim lo sheves ba'afa ragleim v'lishlis matzoma estivreim. The chachomim added to this, it seems, sit at the dust of their feet and thirstily drink in every word they say. It seems very strange.
If the mitzvah is to learn from them, sitting at the dust of their feet should be the greatest learning experience. I thirstily drink it. I take notes on every single word he says, she says. And yet, that seems to be a hoisofa midrabonon. The mitzvah min ha-Torah, lechol lishtois, lishaver, to do business together, social interaction. Very strange. So I found in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says there's two reasons for Goy Sidbo, for clinging to Torah sources, to Tamid Chachomim, or in this case, to a Morah. One is to learn from them. The other one is Shiaminu Amiti Shevedivrayim, to believe the truths that they teach. The social relationship. Not the sitting at the dust of my feet and writing down and drinking in every single word. Without the social relationship, without the friendship, without the lechov lishtois, without this connection, then they're not willing necessarily to accept. They may listen, they may take in the information, but will they internalize it? The relationship is the most critical ingredient in internalizing information. I want to tell you how far this goes. The Rambam says, there's a, in Pirush HaMishnayos, so the Rambam, there's a mitzvah in Pirush HaMishnayos, that was a pnei l'chochover. Should buy, even to buy a friend. And the Rambam brings from Aristotle three levels of friendship. The third level he brings is Avas HaMaila. These two people are pursuing together a certain lofty goal. And there's a close, loving relationship between them in the pursuit of that goal. Each one wants to achieve that spiritual goal and to make sure that his chaver also achieves the spiritual goal. And then at the end, the Rambam signs off with something very surprising. He says, Ki ahavas horav letalmid, vehatalmid lehorav. Like the loving relationship that exists between a Rebbe and a Talmud, and the Talmud to the Rav. A relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, a relationship between a Mor and a Talmidah, has to be to the extent that they're each concerned for the other one's spiritual growth. Imagine that. I could love them so much, we could feel so close, that they want me to grow together with them. Just as I'm concerned about their spiritual growth, they're concerned about my spiritual growth. And if you think this is bizarre, let me just share with you a little story. I'm sitting here talking to one of the younger Leitner Koilo. And that day I had a doctor's appointment. I missed Mincha, the yeshiva. I always daven at 2:45. And I was afraid I'd forget to go to shul after, because I'm not used to it. So I pulled out paper, and I said, excuse me one second, I just had to write down Mincha. I should remember. Then we went on with our conversation, that's all. At 6:30, I think it was the time when they were davening in shul, I get a text. Don't forget Mincha. Now, some people interpret that as a chutzpah to talk to a Rebbe like that. That's the greatest sign of the relationship of uknei l'chochover. That's what the Rambam was talking about. I'm concerned for your ruchnius and you're concerned for my ruchnius. I have such a concern for your ruchnius and we're so connected together that you worry about my ruchnius as well. That's really where we have to go. Now, I know it's difficult. And in a class, even a class of 20, it's not easy. It requires taking personal time with each one. It requires sometimes a phone call after. I'll never forget when I first came to the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva long time ago. And Rabbi Scheinberg was still the Mashgiach there. And one of the Bochrim called him Erev Yom Kippur and asked him if he's allowed to wear shoes because it was raining and he was sick, he had a fever, he wanted to go to shul, he was afraid if he wore his whatever, it wouldn't be good. I don't know, whatever the shiloh was, I don't know what he told him, not relevant. After Yom Kippur, he gets a call from Rabbi Scheinberg. How are you feeling? It didn't tell him he was deathly ill. He had a fever, he had a cold, he had something, but that sensitivity, that caring, you care. You love me. We have a relationship. You don't forget about me. If I told you I wasn't feeling well yesterday, today you're concerned whether I'm better or not. These little things that we could do. Our Talmidos sometimes share with us something that's going on in their lives, and we remember a week later to ask them if it's resolved. Things like this can make such a difference in the relationship.
And that relationship can make the difference of whether we can be mashpia on them and change their lives and have them be willing to connect with us. But I'd like to add to this two things. Number one is a very strange comment in the Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud, Torah Perek Hei. The Rambam says, Kishem, and we know when we talk about a Talmud and a Rav, we're talking about a Mora and a Talmida. Kishem Sheha Talmud Chayiv L'Chabed Es Rav, just as the Talmud is obligated to respect his Rebbe or his or her Mora, Kach HaRav Tzorich L'Chabed Es HaTalmud Ule Korvoi. So too, Kach, the same way, is the Rebbe obligated, not chayiv, but must, to need to respect the Talmud and to be mekarev. And that strikes people sometimes as very strange. Have to respect your students. What? Yeah, respect their time. They have a lot of other work today, so I'm not going to give them that extra assignment. Respect their feelings. They have a question. I want to deal with their question, or at least show them that I don't have the answer, but I'm willing to look into it, to find out, and to remember to get back to them. I want to respect their space. You know, some people are a little bit less neat, they're organized. Can't make fun of them. Let's do the best we can. Respect, respect, respect. That is an amazing tool to connect. But I'd like to try to explain now, before we end this section, how I believe that works. Everyone in the world, if we ask them, what's the thing you want the most? What's the one universal desire that everybody has, every human being? One word. Not money.
Success.
Not if it brings misery. What's the word? Happiness. Right? Success is only because that's a source of happiness. And that's, by the way, one of the ways to feel happy, because I really succeed at something real. But happiness is the universal. Now, if we look at any of the statistics, any of the ratings out there, this world doesn't seem to be a very happy place. And I don't want to go through all the unhappiness that exists. And yet, happiness is more pursued in society than anything else. Multi-billions, if not trillions of dollars are spent on the pursuit of happiness. Books and lectures and seminars and mental health professionals, and doesn't seem to be too successful after all. Why not? And I have a theory, because we don't know what happiness is. If you don't know what it is, you could trip on it and you wouldn't even notice. What's happiness? Well, our society has given a very negative definition of happiness. There's an equation. Happiness equals pleasure. Sounds good, no? Absolutely not. How come all the pleasurizing people are never happy? They want more and more and more and more. The more they get, the more they want. The more they get, the more they need. That's not the source of happiness. In fact, it's just the opposite. It sends a very negative feeling. The definition of happiness, I'd like to suggest to you, can be found in the shirish of the maybe happiest word in Loshna Kodesh. David HaMelech had one request. He said, Acha sho'alti be'eis Hashem oiso avakesh, shivti be'eis Hashem kol yimei chayai. He wanted one thing, to sit be'eis Hashem. What did David HaMelech say about one who sits be'eis Hashem? Ashrei yoshei be'eisecho. Ashrei, Osher. That's the ultimate happiness. The shirish of the word Osher is Aleph Shin Reish. I believe that shirish is from the shirish of Ishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about myself. If I feel good about myself, then I'm happy. If I need the outside pleasures to constantly be filling the void and never seem to satisfy me, that's not happiness. That's the antithesis of happiness that says, I'm trash, and I'm empty, and I need all the stuff from the outside. I don't need anything. I feel good about myself. Now, how can we make our Talmidos feel good about themselves? Well, we gave a few good suggestions. Love makes one feel very good about himself.
The Sipur says the definition of love is sheyismach oyev b'malas aneihav.
The one who loves rejoices in the qualities of the one that he or she loves. So that means I appreciate. If someone loves me, that means I have qualities. Otherwise, what is there to love? One, respect. Respect shows quality. Why does the teacher respect me? Why does she respect my opinion, my questions, my feelings, my space, my time? Why? I must be choshuv. And I discover my own validity, my own validation, my own ishur, my own validation, feeling good about myself. We are in unique position to make our students feel good about themselves. And I'll tell you a secret, that the parents are not in the same position. If a parent shows respect to a child, that could go a long way in making that child feel good about him or herself. But the love doesn't do as much as a mechanech or a mechaneches could do. Why? Because a parent loves me. What else is it? My grandmother loves me. It's genetic. That's this. A teacher? Why does a teacher love me? Why does a teacher feel so close to me? Why are we such good friends? It must be I have qualities. It must be I am worthy. You make me happy. And I can tell you a secret, which is not such a secret. If we make someone happy, if we become a critical source of their happiness, then we are the greatest influence that person, that child has in his or her life. Because you respect me. You show friendship to me. You love me. You care about me. You're making me feel good about myself every single day. You're the most important person. And in today's world, unfortunately, you may actually be the most important, or maybe the only person that's doing that. So this is a conduit, a key to true hashpah. We can truly be mashpia on our students in a way that's unparalleled if we can develop and foster that kind of a close relationship. Now, it takes time and effort. To a certain extent, in the classroom, we could show a certain warmth towards our students. But we also have to find time to talk to them privately. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know what your schedules are, I'm sure they're very busy, but I would say that this is the essence of the chinuch process. To communicate the values and inspire the level of inspiration and commitment and passion that we wish to give over for Yiddishkeit requires that we have that relationship so that they're ready to be makabel, so that we're making them feel good about themselves, so that we make them happy and they feel that we're the most important people in their lives and maybe the only people that are making them feel worthwhile today, and therefore they are ready to be makabel everything that we have to teach them. So I think that this connection can't be underestimated. I'm going to tell you a story. Well, most of these stories may or may not have happened, but they could have happened, so that's good enough for our purpose. There was this young boy in yeshiva who was a terror every single day to the principal's office. The principal makes the same speech, sends him back to class, and tomorrow, the same story again. This went on for months and months and months. Finally, one day, he went to the principal, same story. Next day, an angel. For the rest of the year, a perfect student. Everything changed. What happened? Nobody understood what happened. Finally, one of the teachers went over to the principal and said, "What did you do differently that day that changed his whole life? We never heard from him since then. He's been a model student." He said, "I have no idea. I made the same speech that I make every day." But he was very curious, so he calls in this young boy and he says, "Could you tell me the last time that we met, what did I say to you? What happened? What was different?" He says, "Well, we were talking and you were in the midst of the same boring speech again that I've heard 100 times. All of a sudden, the secretary walks into the office and says, "There's a very important person on the phone who must speak to you right now." "And you answer the secretary, 'I'm speaking to the most important person in the world. I cannot interrupt.'" And that was the change. We have that power. We have the power, sometimes even through one incident, certainly through an ongoing relationship, to validate our students, to make them feel good about themselves, and then that's it. That's all we want in life. Everybody only wants to be happy. All the acting out and all the misbehavior and all the discipline problems, all because they're not happy inside. They don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel successful. They don't feel accomplished. They don't feel that the people appreciate them. Give them that happiness. Become that conduit of happiness to them. And they're yours. Have hashpah. Ad beli day. Endless hashpah we could have. And literally change the lives of our students. I believe my time is up. Do we have a break? Yeah, I guess my time is up is not the word. Okay, we have a break. Okay.